Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is taken from the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, as you have just heard read. Please be seated. We hear this morning that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." This is the second time that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, calling him to arise and go to Nineveh. He was called to speak out against it for its evil ways. The first time that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he fled. He bolted. He didn't want to be in the presence of the Lord. He, unlike the rest of the prophets, disobeyed God's call. Jonah's reaction raises many questions. Why did he flee from the presence of the Lord? Was it because he feared the Ninevites? Was it because he had sin of which he wanted to hide from the Lord? Maybe he just thought that the Ninevites didn't need to receive the mercy of God. By not calling out to the Ninevites, he knew that surely they would be wiped out. But the Lord turned Jonah back. During the great storm, the Lord had appointed men threw Jonah into the sea as a sacrifice to the one true God. And the storm ceased. After he was thrown from the ship into the sea, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, if the book of Jonah had ended here, we could reasonably conclude that Jonah's life was over. I mean, he was swallowed by a great fish. But the book of Jonah does not end here. The Lord doesn't leave Jonah to perish. The belly of the fish wasn't Jonah's tomb. The belly of the fish was God's hand showing mercy. Through the belly of the fish, Jonah was rescued from the deep, and he turned back toward God, trusting that the Lord would bring to him salvation. God goes to great lengths to bring Jonah back. For great is his steadfast love toward his people. Though they turn away from him, he goes to great lengths to bring them back. Though the Lord is high above all the nations, and his glory is above the heavens, yet he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And so it is for us. God goes to great lengths to bring us back to himself. Yes, our Lord continues to stretch forth his hand and care for even the lowliest, the smallest, those who can't provide for themselves, and those who cannot save themselves. Even through a sinful man, the Lord continues to deliver the Ninevites from evil. He turned Jonah back for his good purpose, so that the Ninevites would repent and return to the Lord. We hear, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." God gave Jonah a second chance, and Jonah made that 3 days' journey into Nineveh just as the Lord had commanded. He spoke out as he was commanded, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Though Jonah comes warning them of the overthrow they have brought upon themselves, he doesn't do it in mercy. Jonah really did hope that Nineveh would be overthrown, but he didn't hope this for their good. He hoped that the city would be destroyed. He didn't want them to receive mercy from God. He hoped that the people would be wiped out. He didn't want the Ninevites to hear God's word as he calls to them, for he knew that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. That is why he fled the first time the word of the Lord came to him. He didn't want the Ninevites to repent of their evil ways and live. He knew that if he remained silent, they would have no chance to turn from their evil ways. Regardless, the Lord still called Jonah as a prophet. Even though his heart was evil, the Lord still used him. In calling out to the Ninevites, he meant God's word for evil, but God used it for his good purpose. This call from the lips of Jonah brought about an overthrow for the good of the Ninevites. They listened to the call of Jonah, and they were overturned both in repentance and faith toward God. We hear, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it." The Ninevites believed God, and they turned from their evil. This is repentance, turning from the evil and trusting in God's mercy. The very call to repentance that Jonah preached, he was preaching to himself. He too needed to repent of his evil ways. He was angry that God desired to have mercy on the Ninevites. Jonah didn't care for the great city, that of more than 120,000 people. But God did. God had mercy upon all the people of Nineveh, from the greatest of them to the least, the oldest of the city to the youngest, men, women, children, infants, and even those who yet were in the womb. They all received the mercy of God, though they didn't do anything to deserve it. God had mercy on them because of the once and for all sacrifice for sins, Christ Jesus, who was crucified, and his beloved Son. God the Father has chosen life. He has chosen to not have the evil ones perish. Instead, he calls them out of their evil ways by his Spirit to trust in the mercy of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Even so, God had mercy on Jonah. He didn't cast Jonah away, but continually called him to repentance for both his anger and rebellion. He desired not that Jonah die, but rather that he turn from his evil ways and live. This call for repentance is also our call for repentance. God doesn't want us to be left to destruction in our sins. Rather, he calls us to repent of our sins and believe in the gospel, as we have heard in the gospel reading this morning. Jesus also said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." We, like the Ninevites, have found ourselves in such an evil generation. God's good and gracious law has not been upheld among us. The lives which God has created have not been cared for and defended as they ought. From the time of conception in the womb to the time of death, God cares for and defends all lives. Just as God cared for and defended our lives, he desires that we do the same for our neighbor. He desires that we uphold and defend our neighbor, no matter how insignificant this generation claims they are. Whether it is the poor, the oppressed, the elderly, mentally ill, the young, the infant, or the baby in the womb, because of his beloved Son's perfect obedience on our behalf. God the Father has sanctified all lives, and he desires to raise them up to be his dear children. Let us not despise even the least among these, for to them belongs the kingdom of the heavens. The mercy of God in Christ Jesus our Lord is for them, and it is for us. In him there is no condemnation, but forgiveness of sins and life that does it end. Just as he is risen from the dead, so we too, who have been washed clean of our old selves through the waters of holy baptism, there we were drowned and died, and just as he has promised, we will rise from the dead. Therefore, dear ones, the Spirit who has begun the good work of faith in you will bring it to completion at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have received grace upon grace. We have received mercy, just as did the Ninevites. In him all lives are worth more than all the riches of the world. He has bought us from the snares of death, from sin, from the devil, with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. We are his own. He desires to have mercy on all of us, from the greatest of us to the least. He seeks out and desires to save all lives. He desires that all come and lie down in green pastures where the shepherd has promised to care for his sheep. God's love in Christ Jesus makes your life matter and makes your neighbor's life matter, and it makes all lives matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.